This has been sweet worship tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. Sweet worship. You're going to receive a word from God tonight. And I'm expecting a clear word from God. I know the man who is going to bring us the word tonight. Elder Mike Hall, someone I've known for probably 20 plus years. And was assistant pastor in the city, highly respected man in the city of Cleveland, and someone who has great integrity as a man of God and great integrity when it comes to the word of God. So you are in for a treat tonight. You're going to be blessed. And I just want you to stand. Even though it's not a bunch of us, let's stand, put our hands together, bless God, as Elder Mike Hall comes tonight and share the word of God with us.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you gave me a hand. Why don't you give Jesus a hand tonight? Amen. Praise his name. Well, the message that I'm going to share with you tonight is something that the Spirit of God really shared with me at the end of 2009. I was just looking back over the year and really thanking God for what he had brought me through in the previous year and how he had blessed me and my family and just how he just manifested himself in so many wonderful ways. And as I was in this quiet time with him, he began to speak to me and share with me some things about the coming year. I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you what the Lord told me. So I want you to understand that this is what he told me, and I felt that I need to share it with you because God is doing something in my life and many other believers that I know. God is doing the very same thing in their lives, and I believe God wants to do this in the whole church. Amen. God is expanding the church. He wants to increase. He wants us to enlarge our tents. And he's going to press us. That's what he told me for this coming year. And specifically speaking to me, he's going to press me. And I believe he's going to press you because of the times that we're living in. Amen. A lot of things have happened in 2009. And I would just sit. And some of the news that I would watch sometimes that I would catch, all I could do was just sit there and say, wow, God, this is crazy. But it's happening, and the intensity is becoming more and more evident to see what's going on. And some believers that I talk to, they're not even aware of what's going on. I mean, they're just going on, living life, having a good time, and not even aware of what's really the plan of God that he's really trying to do. Amen. I don't know if you know any of those people, but I know them, and I talk with them, and I share with them, and some of the things that they ask me, some of the things that they say, it's amazing why they ask these things, not really knowing what time we're living in. Amen. So before I begin my message, I want to share with you what the Lord had shared with me. The name of my message will be Trying Time. Trying Time. Amen. And what the Lord gave me when I was really alone with him and he began to minister to me, he said, there are many in my kingdom that are at ease and not moving in the giftings I have given to them. They have enjoyed my fellowship and my blessings, but they have not done what I required. Many are yet still asleep and have not awakened to the times that they are in. I have begun to shake the foundations of the world. And my people must not build their lives and relationships on this foundation, for it will come down and you will be overwhelmed by it. Arise, my bride, for the bridegroom will soon arrive. Purge yourselves and sanctify your life, that you will be prepared for his arrival. Trust only in me and not man, for you will bring yourselves under a curse. I will be that strong high tower to you that you will run to and be safe in the times of calamity and trouble. And you will be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You will be a blessing in the land, that the people will see the faithfulness and the power of your God. Amen. And this is what the Spirit of God gave me, because as we were singing the songs tonight, just the worship was just so beautiful. And my heart was just breaking, because the Spirit of God just gave me an image of how God was looking at the church. And it was symbolic of the same way that Jesus looked at his people Israel. When he looked over them, and he said, "Oh, how I desire to just come and take you up under my wing as a mother hen her chicks." But we don't come. The people are not coming. Those that carry his name. And the Spirit of God said that this will be, for my people, trying time. Amen. The Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. And if the righteous are saved, wherein shall the sinners be? If it comes in the house of God, what hope have the sinners have? They don't have any. They just have judgment coming. Amen. And God loves us so much that he wants to equip us and prepare us for what is coming in this earth. Amen. Because it's coming. You can't stop it. We see seasons, you know, it's like we're in this season now. We complain a lot about the seasons. And you know what? And I tell, when I was working, I used to tell guys, I'm glad that you don't control the weather. Because it could be sunny in the morning, and when I come home, it's raining. Or it could be snowing on the hills and in the streets because you want to go out skiing. I'm glad you don't control the weather. But God has ordained seasons. And you know what? You can't pray a season away. Amen. You can't. You can't pray this winter and this snow away, because a season has its time. And it's, spring is not going to come until God's ordained it to come. When the season of winter is over, it's over. Amen. And I believe that God is moving his people into a season where trying and testing is really going to impact our lives. Not that we're going to be robbed and killed and beaten or anything like that. But I mean, the faith that we have is really going to be tested. And the Spirit of God began to speak to me and says, "Yeah, you know, you've been doing okay, but there's more things that you can do." And, you know, he said that, you know, you can speak to more people. You can be more confrontational with things that you know that are wrong. Not out of anger and because of by arrogance, but because of what you know. Amen. And my wife's uncle just passed recently. And, you know, I was just looking and I said, "God, you know, it just feels like I failed or I missed something, because I didn't get the chance to really see him. I saw him one time in the hospital, and then that was it." And the Lord was, you know, "You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. It's not guaranteed to you." That was a good place for amen. You don't know. So we have to live today as if Jesus was coming. Amen. I sense that God is, and that he has begun to try his people. He is up to something great, and God wants his people prepared and dressed for battle. But sad to say, many in the kingdom of God are ill-equipped, out of shape, or just plain lazy. Amen. Some of them can't even fight a little bitty superficial battle because they don't have enough money to go to the store and buy bread. You know, but God is beginning to press us to a place to where, when all of the calamities and the tragedies come in the earth, that the people of God will be able to stand and wax bold in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. I want to share with you, as I was doing this study, I came across the words trying and tried. Many of them are similar. And the word try, and the verses that we're going to be sharing at the beginning, they mean to test, to examine, to prove, or to tempt. The word tried means to refine, cast, purge away, or to try. So this is what God is trying to do in me and the body of Christ. He's going to press us to a place to where we have to acknowledge who he is and stand in faith for what he has said in his word. Amen. And I know you see and you recognize that there are a lot of things that are really beginning to attack the church and those that carry the name of Christian. Amen. And it's amazing because there's some things that I thought I would never see, but we're seeing them, and it's getting like in a regular occasion for those things to happen. But one of my prayers that I do pray is that, God, I pray that this nation will always have the right for people to have your word in their presence, to have it in their homes, to carry it on their bodies, to have it on their jobs, wherever they want it, that word would always be accessible for those that want it. Amen. Because that's going to be an area to where they're going to begin to attack real hard. They don't want you to know the truth. Amen. It is only by testing of the Lord that a life of faith can be proven. Amen. The only way that you're going to know, because God knows who you are. He knows where you're at. And many times he allows these testings to come and to prove us, to let us know where we're at. Amen. See, without the testing, you'll never know the strength of your faith. Amen. See, why do weightlifters lift the weights and continue to increase the poundage of the steel on the bars that they lift? Because they want to put more stress, more pressure upon that muscle so that muscle can grow. Amen. Without the proving of that muscle, it's not going to grow. I remember when I was younger, this is some time ago, but they used to have this in the magazines. They used to have a little article about this real skinny guy that laid on the beach with his girlfriend. And this big bodybuilder would come by and he would kick dirt in his eyes. And then he would throw him out of the way and he would walk away with his girlfriend. And that's the way that I used to see myself when I was young. I used to like to read those because I used to try to lift weights and everything. I said, boy, I want to be like that guy, you know, be all ripped and have those big, strong muscles. But that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to get us ripped up. He wants us to be defined in our spiritual muscles, that when the hard times do come, we will stand. Amen. The word says, having done all to stand, stand. Amen. The word try in the verses that we're going to read are going to show us that it's going to be the Lord that puts the pressure on us. Amen. And it's not going to be by accidents, and it's not going to be by losing your home or whatever, but it's going to be a faith test. He's going to prove the faith that you have. And some of us are very mature right now. Some of us are grown. But you know what? God is still going to press you. Still going to press you. Nobody's going to be eliminated or left out of it. He's going to press us all. Because all that you know, the more that you know, the more he's going to require of it from you. Amen. So if you would, we're going to look at Psalms 11, verses 4 and 5. And we're going to see what the word says there. David knows a little bit about the Lord trying him, about the Lord testing him. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. Verse 5. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his whole hates. Amen. The Lord tests the righteous. He's going to prove you. And don't get fearful about the testings and the provings of the Lord. There was a time when I was a young believer that there was a phase, I don't know if Tosi remembers, but there was a phase when a lot of testing was going on back in some denominations and people were really getting hurt by it. And they didn't know or understand what was really going on in their lives. I mean, there was problems in their families. Marriages were breaking up. There was chaos and confusion in the church. And people were just saying, well, the Lord is testing me. And I didn't know anything. I was just listening. You're like, wow. If that's the kind of testing that God does, that's kind of scary to me. Because I know God loves me. And I don't know if he would really put that kind of stuff on me. I didn't know anything. I didn't know about the word. I didn't know who God really was at that particular time. I didn't have an intimate relationship with him at that time. And I just listened to these people because they were mature Christians. And I thought they knew a little bit of what they were talking about. But as I got older, I found out that that is not the character and the nature of the God that I serve. Amen. You've probably heard people say, well, the Lord put me in the hospital to teach me a lesson. You've probably heard Christians say that. That's not true. God don't have to put you in a hospital to teach you a lesson. And if you say that, you must have been a real rebellious person for God to have to put you in the hospital. But God doesn't do that. Amen. Psalm 17, verse 3. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. The Lord comes to test your heart. He comes to test your heart. When Adam ate the apple, not the apple, but when he ate the fruit with his wife, the Lord asked him, Adam, where are you? Don't you think God knew where Adam was? Sure he did. He wanted to know where he was in his relationship with him. And God is going to come and ask us, where are you? Where is your heart at? Is the pressure and the stresses of life causing you to pull away from me? That you get so overwhelmed and consumed about maintaining those material things that really mean nothing to me? That you allow yourself to be drawn away and enticed by all these things of the world and you forget about who I am and what I can do for you? Where are you? And the Lord asked me that. I said, Lord, I'm not in the right place where I need to be. So I have to continue to pursue you, seek your face, that I might be in the place where you need me to be in 2010. Because that's the place I want to go. Amen. I want to have the intimate relationship with him. Proverbs 17, verse 3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Gold, when they refine it, they heat it up above its melting point to where the gold begins to liquefy and the dross and all the impurities in the gold rises to the top. And the goldsmith, the silversmiths, they take their scoops and they take off the dross and the impurities that are in it so it will be fine gold, fine silver. You'll never know the value of who you are and the strength that the Spirit of God has given you without being refined. You have to go through the refining process because then you're of no value to the Master. Amen. It's getting quiet. You can give me amen sometime when you know it. Just shake your head. Amen. The testings of the Lord is designed to mature us, make us grow. No one in the kingdom of God is promoted without being tested, proven, refined. Everyone that belongs to him will be tested from the smallest to the greatest. Amen. I don't care what your position is, whether you're the preacher or whether you sit in the pew in the back row. You're in the kingdom, you're going to be proven. You're going to be tested. You're going to be refined. Amen. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Amen. It's a good thing to where you can go and you can deal with issues in life and you go through it and you look back and you say, wow, that wasn't as bad as what I thought. Amen. The devil tries to make our problems look bigger than what they really are. He tries to overwhelm us with them. Amen. That's why we can't focus in on our problem. We have to focus in on our Lord. Amen. None of us, when we were in school, we had to take tests in school. The tests were given by our teachers for what reason? To see if we really had comprehended the course of study that we took. To see if we were ready to be promoted to the next grade. Amen. But we have this program today, which is called No Child Left Behind. you can kind of just skate right through your grades now. You really don't kind of have to stay there and go over it. But the testings are good. When you come, I don't know if you ever had a pop quiz. I know you had a pop quiz. You come in there and the teacher tells you to come into the room, sit down, have your test, get your pencil and paper out. We're going to have a pop quiz. Because the teacher wanted to know, up to this point in the course of study, if you're really following the course. To see if you where you need to be at this time of the grade level. Amen. And God is going to press us to make sure you're at the place you need to be in. Amen. You can't try to find your way out of a fiery house if you don't know ahead of time where the doors are at. Say it again. You can't find your way out of a fiery house unless you know where the doors are at before the fire. Because if you don't know where the doors are at, you're going to be consumed by the fire and die in the house. Amen. So now is the time to where God is causing us to be prepared for what is coming. Amen. One will never know the strength of his faith or the depth of his relationship without it being put to the test. Proverbs 24:10. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you fall in the day of adversity, your strength is small. How many times have you failed? How many times have you been confronted with that situation? And it just seems like it just overwhelms you. It just grabs you and you just back and forth, back and forth. Instead of going forward, you go back and that problem is still there. God says, deal with that problem. Take care of that mountain. Don't run away from it. When David had to fight Goliath, the Bible says that he ran toward him. He didn't run away from him. He ran toward Goliath. When we see those problems, do you rejoice? No, you don't rejoice. Hopefully you don't run. But hopefully you stand there and you deal with it. Amen. Believing that the God you serve knew about the problem before you got there. Amen. That before you got to that place, he knew about it. Many things happen in our lives where it seems like it surprises us. But it never surprises God. He knew every situation that we would be confronted with in our life. And it never, ever surprised him. And so God will allow us to confront that thing. And you know what? You never fail the test of the Lord. God always has redos. You never fail it. Because you will never be promoted unless you pass it. So you will always have a redo. Same devil. Same devil. Amen. God is calling and pressing his children to equip and strengthen themselves for the calamities and the hardships that are to come upon this world and this world system. Now is the time to build yourself up. Now is the time to get your freedom. Now is the time to deepen your walk with Jesus because the time will become worse and worse. Those issues that you've been struggling with for 5, 10, 15 years, now is the time to get yourself free. Those addictions that you may have, it's time for you to get free. Amen. That anger that you've been dealing with, it's time to get free. Amen. That covetousness, that fornication, it's time to get free. Amen. Because there's going to come a time in your life to where when you make a decision to get free, it's going to overwhelm you and you can't fight against that thing. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Amen. And God has delivered me because I came to that place and says, God, I can't do this by myself, but I want to be free. Amen. God doesn't deliver you from your friends. He delivers you from your enemies. If you like what you do, God's going to let you do what you do. Amen. Now is the time to build yourself up. Now. Don't wait till next week. This is 2010. And the Spirit of God really impressed that within my heart when he was going over and just sharing with me some of the things that he had brought me through. You don't know if you can take a plane and if you're going to depart from Cleveland Hopkins, if you're going to make it over in Europe. You don't know that. There may be some kind of evil and wicked scheme that has already been laid out. And you're there, not recognizing who you are and what you need to do. You're not covered with the blood. You don't have your angels going before you. It's just a plane ride. It's just a trip. But it may be your last trip. And you need to make sure that you're right where you need to be. Amen. Praise God. Satan knows that if he can lull you to sleep, keeping you distracted, busy doing other things, that when times of opposition come, you will not be able to rise up and fight. Amen. You won't be able to do it. A friend of mine, he's taking a test to be a police officer for the city of Cleveland. And he was telling me about a lot of corruption that they have in the police department and everything. And not just Cleveland, but a lot of police departments, which really should be offices of integrity and security for people. But there's a lot of corruption that goes on in there. And I know a friend of mine, he's a detective, and he would tell me a lot of situations that he had to confront while he was in that position. He became a detective. And I was telling this young man, I said, you're a Christian. And because you're a Christian, you have to make up your mind what you're going to do even before you get that job. Because you're going to be in some situations to where you have a drug bust and they go in there and there's $50,000, $60,000 on the table. Hello. And those officers say, well, you know, we'll write on the report there was only $20,000 there. And they keep the rest. What are you going to do? Are you going to be afraid of the consequences and the repercussions that you're going to get because you won't take money with them? Or are you going to stand in who you know you serve, the Lord God Almighty, who sees and knows everything, nothing is hidden from his sight? Or are you just going to cave in and go along with what they're doing? He said, oh, Mr. Hall, I wouldn't do that. I said, you know what? You can't wait till you get to that point. You have to make up your decision before you get there. Because if you haven't made up your true determination within your heart as far as what you're going to do, you'll never do it. I don't care how you, when you get in a situation, how many people have fallen because they've got into a situation with somebody they shouldn't be with in a romantic way. We're going to pray. We're going to read the Bible together. You know, that's all it's going to be. And that you begin to share secret things and everything. And before you know it, you're doing more than having Bible study. You have to make up your mind before you get to that point. Amen. Because the devil will put that pressure on you. Amen. The greatest fight we fight is for our faith. Satan knows that without it, we are powerless. Jesus himself had to be tested to move into a place of greater anointing and power. See, a lot of people want to move into a higher, greater place with the Lord, but they don't want to go through the testing, the proving that the Lord brings into their life. You'll never receive another anointing. You'll never receive a promotion in the kingdom of God until you pass the testings and the provings of the Lord. Amen. The world, they have a different way of elevating people. They elevate people because of their qualifications, because of their talents, but that doesn't work in the kingdom of God. God doesn't promote you because of your qualifications or because of your talents, because of your abilities to do certain things. God promotes you because of your faith and because of your character. Amen. We see a lot of people that are in major positions. I mean, you've seen some of the news and what's going on with notable people. How their whole wall, their whole kingdom has come down. People that in the world, they have promoted them almost to a status of God. But all of a sudden, all these flaws begin to surface. And so they're not worthy any longer. But praise God, we're always worthy for the King. Amen. There's a place where we can go. Amen. And be reconciled once again to our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. This is when the Spirit of the Lord took Jesus up to the mountain to be tempted, tested, proven by the devil. We know that just as Adam was tested, the sinless man, that the second Adam also had to be tempted, tested, and proven. And Jesus, the Bible says that he was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. God led him up there into situations to where he would be proven. You know, our heart, Jeremiah says, our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, and we have this saying in the world today, you ask people why they do what they do and, you know, what caused them to make the decisions that they make. They say, well, it just felt good in my heart. You know, it just felt good in my heart, so I just went ahead and did it. You know, you just go with your gut feeling. But God says, you can't trust your heart. It's deceitful. It'll trick you. It'll manipulate you. It'll use you. But we have to trust the Spirit of the living God. And I thank Jesus for what he did. We were just singing these songs tonight, and tears were just welling up in my eyes because you don't know me. You see me. Some of you do know you, don't me, but you really don't know me. But Jesus knows me. He knew me before I was here. And I wasn't a nice guy. If you had time, my wife would tell you. And I'm not going to let her tell. But I wasn't a nice guy. You know, I come up in a dysfunctional family, and a lot of dysfunction came into my life, and it really messed me up. And when I tried to have a relationship, it just messed it up because I was doing what I thought I knew I was supposed to do, but it wasn't right. Amen. And so when I hear those songs about freedom, like we sang tonight, I said, God, I thank you that I'm free. That I'm free. I know what it's like to be a slave. I know what it's like to be bound up. And I thank God that I'm free. Amen. Praise God. And you know what? A slave can't set a slave free. A slave cannot set a slave free. Has to be a free man to set a slave free. God has set us all free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Because we're free, we can go and set others people free. And that's what God wants. We're living in a time to where people are dying daily and going to hell without a word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without even hearing. You know, it was like 5 years ago. I went to a big outing somewhere, and I was amazed. A lot of young people were there that never heard the gospel message. Young people. I was astounded, really. And even today, there's a lot of people that haven't heard the gospel. It's amazing. There's a lot of religious people, but a lot of people have not heard the gospel. They've heard about mysticism, spiritualism. They've heard about all kinds of different religions, but the gospel, they haven't heard. And the heart of God is breaking because those people are dying daily and going to hell. Because we've become comfortable in our life in the kingdom. Amen. So God is going to press us to a place to where when we see things going on, people in trouble. I saw on the news a couple of weeks ago where they were having trouble in this one city. They couldn't feed the people that were losing jobs and losing their homes. They began to call the churches to help meet the needs of the people. That's the way it should be. Amen. The church can do far more than the government can do. Amen. But we're not. You know, there was a time when everybody was building their own kingdom. Nobody wanted to come together in unity in the church. You know, I'm over here building my kingdom. They're over there building their kingdom. But nobody's coming together. And Jesus says, the world will know that we're one by the love that we have one for the other. And so we wonder why a lot of people are not coming to churches. Because there's no love. Amen. But God is going to press us to a place to where if you got issues with this church, you got issues with that church, you got a problem with this denomination, with that denomination, God is tearing all those foundational walls down and bringing us together as one. Because oppression will bring people together. Let me say that again. Oppression will bring people together. Whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're brown, you're green, it doesn't matter. If we all in the same community and we ain't got no food, we're going to starve if we don't get together and try to work this thing out. Amen. A time for trying. Amen. The greatest fight we will fight is our faith fight. Satan knows that without it, we are powerless. Jesus himself had to be tempted, tested, and proved. Matthew 4, chapter 1. Just as Jesus had his faith and relationship with the Father tested, so will you and I. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Amen. Do you have that? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The trying of the Lord will cause you to become complete, thoroughly equipped to handle any circumstance in your life. God has built us to take care of any situation that comes into our lives. Let me say that again. God has equipped us to handle any situation in our lives. There may be some that come upon you that you're not aware of and you don't know how to handle it. That means that you haven't matured enough to handle those kind of situations. It doesn't mean that you can't. It just means that you're not equipped to. So you have to go back and equip yourself in the Word so that you can handle that situation. Amen. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. Fiery trials. It's not strange. It's just common. We're going to go through it. We can't forget that we lived in a cursed world. Whatever happens out there, you know what, it's going to affect you. When Detroit started losing money, couldn't sell cars, couldn't maintain their business practices, it began to make waves across this great nation. It affects us. But we have the ability within ourselves to stand in that kind of a situation, even when it seems like your home is being threatened with foreclosure, your job is being shipped overseas, whatever, that we can still stand in the place of knowing that if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. It seems as if many in the church have embraced an attitude that is whatever comes, it comes. And that just because I've become a Christian, that all of this suffering and this testing, it has to stop. I gave my life to Jesus. Wrong. When you gave your life to Jesus, you have a big bullseye right on the front of your chest. Amen. You become the center of the enemy's target. Amen. But I must tell you that this is not true, because the enemy wants to come. You know, I believe that God allows a lot of things to happen in our lives to smack the devil in the face. To allow him, you know, God is, this is my version, that he's up in heaven and he just looks over the kingdom of darkness. And as he tries to attack the people of God, when the people of God rise up and they just smack him in the eye, it's The Thriller in Manila. Did you ever see that? That was a great boxing match. One of the greatest boxing matches I ever saw. And Muhammad Ali and George Frazier was fighting this fight in Manila, two of the greatest boxers at the particular time. And they were just punching and brutalizing and hitting one another. And when it was all over, both of them was exhausted. Muhammad Ali had won, but they were both exhausted, wound up in the hospital. When we get into those faith fights and we would get into those natural fights with the enemy, we may be exhausted. It may seem like we lost, but that's not the case. See, the believer is never down and out. He's like a cork that's floating in the waves. It's in the sea of life. And when you press that cork down and you let it go, it just pops right back up. Amen. Because we just give the enemy black eye after black eye after black eye. And I like what Pastor Kay did. He says that when you get up in the morning, the devil doesn't even want to see you getting up because he's afraid of what you're going to do. I like that. I like to be able to get up and have the devil afraid of me instead of me being afraid of him. Amen. I can speak the devil's name. I can call him Satan, Lucifer, the devil. And I'm not afraid that he's going to try to launch an attack against me. Because the word says, greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. Amen. I know who I am. And that's what God wants the church to know. Realize who you are. Paul says that the very spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. Miracle working, supernatural, divine power working in you. What can stop you? Nothing. What can hold you? Nothing. But if you don't know that, and if you're not allowing the Lord to purge you and refine you, you'll never experience that. Amen. God is, he's concerned about relationships. Amen. The Father wants to know that our faith is precious possession he has given to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Trial of our faith. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The trying of your faith. What makes it strong? The revelation of Jesus Christ. See, a lot of people don't have that revelation. They know about Jesus. They've heard about Jesus. They may even have accepted him as their Savior. But they don't have that revelation. Amen. See, because once you get a revelation of Jesus, then you know what? That addiction that you were on, that you were going through, you stop it. You get free from it. That illicit, immoral affair that you're involved in, you stop it. Because you have a revelation of Jesus and what he did. Amen. If you have a problem with anger, lying, covetousness, when you get that revelation of Jesus Christ, then you find out that stuff just falls off like skin off an onion. Amen. Praise God. And when the testing and the trying and the proving comes, you'll go through it and come out with fine flying colors. You'll get a gold star. No, but you'll receive a crown. Amen. I like what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, people are investing in the stock markets. They're buying gold and everything. But this is the best investment that you could make. It's coming to God and serving him, because he says he will reward you. He's not going to punish you. He's not going to penalize you. He's going to reward you. Amen. Is there benefits in serving God? Yes. Are you serving God just to get benefits? No. But I like them. Amen. I like them. So I'm going to try to get as many benefits that I can. Amen. You go to work every day? Sure you do. Do they pay you? Sure they do. Otherwise you wouldn't go to work. Do they give you vacation time? Maybe. That's another incentive to keep you coming to work. That's a reward. Amen. We'll do that for a natural employer, but we won't give the same service and honor to God, which has much more than we could ever desire. Amen. We must realize that it is our faith that takes us from earth to heaven. Amen. It's our faith that takes us from earth to heaven. Amen. Let me say that again. It's our faith that takes us from earth to heaven. Why? The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. By allowing the Spirit of God to empower us and expand our faith, we will overcome every adversity and circumstance that will try to overcome us. I believe difficult times will increase for saints and sinners, and only the strong will survive. That is, those that are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible tells us that we shall receive crowns for our service to God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. A crown of righteousness. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Amen. A crown of righteousness. You know, there are some Christians, they don't want Jesus to come back too soon, because they're too busy building their own kingdoms. Lord, I got this plan in my life. Give me 5 more years. That's no guarantee you're going to have 5 years. Amen. Jesus could come tonight, tomorrow. He could come 10 years from now. But the thing of it is, you have to be ready when he comes. Amen. You know, we read the Bible. We've heard the stories about what the prophets had said and everything. And it's been over 2,000 years. They said, Jesus is coming back. And people say, man, that's junk. You've been saying that for 2,000 years. That ain't, you know what? You're closer now than you were then. So you better be ready. Amen. You better be ready. James chapter 1, verse 12. A crown of life. Blessed is the man who endures temptations. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Amen. Praise God. The crown of life, which he has promised to those that love him. That at that great marriage supper of the Lamb, and when we see Jesus, we will take off our crowns and we will throw them at his feet. For what he's done in our lives. For becoming our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Lord. Amen. Persecution, afflictions, many times work to defeat us and rob us of our crowns. And right to heaven, our crowns to heaven, and our rights to heaven. But Jesus has made us to become overcomers in this life. And in the end, inherit eternal life with him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. If you name the name of Christ, do you know there's a reservation for you in heaven? And you know what? Only you can fulfill it. You can't send somebody up there for you. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved. There's a nameplate in gold with your name on it. A reservation personally for you. And you know what? No one else can see that you have that appointment and sit at that table but you. Amen. When I read that and I began to look into it, I realized, I said, God, I thank you that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. That there is a reservation for me at the table. Got my name on it, Michael Hall. I got a spot. And you know what? I can't wait. And I'm not going to let anybody on this earth stop me, Satan included. Amen. What kind of life have you built with your faith? What kind of crowns and rewards will you present before the Lord? God wants to press us. You know how they get the oil from the grape. They have to crush it. They have to put the pressure on the olive. God symbolically will press us. He is pressing us. Amen. How's your Bible reading? How's your worship time with the Lord? How's your time with church services? How's your witness for the Lord? See, all these things, the Spirit of God began to press upon me. And he just showed me areas to where I could just increase more and more. Because it takes a dedicated service and effort to please the Lord. I want to be all that I can be for him. I remember I was reading a book by Miles Monroe, and he was talking about potential. And he was saying that the most fertile place on the earth is a cemetery. Why? Because so many people have died with their dreams in them. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Never come to their potential. The most fertile place. And he says, I don't want to die like that. I don't want to die empty. I'm sorry, he said, I don't want to die full. He wants to die empty. See, the world says, all of the knowledge and the wisdom that you have, keep it for yourself. It's a source of income, recognition. You keep it. Don't share it with anybody else. They might take it and they might become millionaires from your ideal or whatever. No, God wants us to empty ourselves out. And as we empty ourselves out, he fills us up again with a greater anointing. Amen. Praise God. I just want to pray before I finish and turn it back over to Pastor Wiley. Because I believe that all of us are confronted, even now, are confronted with things that it overwhelms us. Things that seem like I thought I was done with this thing 2 years ago. And it still pops up and it still troubles me. I have to get free from this. Now is the time to do it. Amen. God wants you to be all that you could be. Amen. Let's stand as I pray. Because I believe that it's your desire to have a deeper intimacy with the Lord, to be all that he wants you to be. Many of you, from tonight, I believe, God will show you situations. He will bring into you confrontations and meetings with people that you would avoid at one time. But that you will no longer avoid those things, but you will allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide you so that you can get the victory that you need. For whom the Son set free is free indeed. He wants us all free. And there's nothing like it. Amen. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your word that has gone out tonight. Words of freedom and deliverance. Words that will encourage us and strengthen us and let us know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So I thank you, Lord God, that there is nothing in my life, nothing in our lives that will overwhelm us. Lord God, we shall look upon it for a moment, but we know, Lord, this too shall pass, that trouble does not last always. So we thank you and we praise you. Your word declares that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Lord God, those things that we've been hoping on, those things that we've been believing you for, it has made us sick, Lord God. We have been wandering and asking why this hasn't happened. But Lord, your word also says that as it has been deferred, you said that when desire comes and is fulfilled, it shall be like a tree of life. So I thank you, Lord God, that there shall be great fruitfulness from our patience in you, believing that he that began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, that you shall lead us and direct us, that you shall cause us to rise up to a greater anointing, a greater place of confidence, a greater place of character, a greater place of love for you. That, Lord, when individuals will look upon us, they will know that truly these are people of the Most High God. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We shall not walk in fear or intimidation, but we shall be bold as lions. We shall confront the enemy and defeat him. Lord God, we shall see salvations of our family members and loved ones. We shall see prosperity coming, Lord God. We shall see you giving us witty inventions and ideals, Lord God. You said the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Lord God, we believe we shall see that transference because, Lord God, your people need to be prosperous to meet the needs in these last days. Grant us wisdom, O God, to take all that you give us. That as you bless us, Lord God, we would bless those that come and call upon us in your name. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you that Satan is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus Christ is still Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Trying times. Now, we must not just be hearers of this word, but doers of this word, because if believers, as Elder Hall shared, if believers don't press into God as trying times come upon the earth, we will receive the same fate and result as unbelievers. But this is a tremendous time for God to show us off. Just picture where you are on your job, wherever you are in life, whatever God has assigned you. When trying times come, if you stand up and face that circumstance in your life and see the present power of God move in that situation, what a testimony for Almighty God. It's time for us as believers, as we prepare beforehand, we will rise and shine because our light has come, Jesus has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. And even as darkness covers this earth and gross darkness to people, the Bible says the glory of the Lord will be seen upon us if we prepare now. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I just want to pray for us to have safe travel and home tonight. And they say there's going to be more snow tomorrow and all that stuff. But we know the Lord is with us. Father, we just bless you and thank you, Lord God. I just thank you for the angels of the Lord who encamp around about each of your saints, Lord God, as they travel tonight and even tomorrow, Lord God. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers them, covers their vehicles, Lord God. Go before us, Lord God, making that way safe, Lord God. I cancel any assignments of accidents or calamities on the highway in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God, that we get home, find our family and loved ones well. And we bless you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We will see you on Sunday. Amen.